chop it up, chop it up. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. All right, welcome in, guys. Farzin Vesugin here with you for another episode of the Chiefs Zone podcast. It is a late Tuesday night here as the results are in. The stadium vote has been rejected by Jackson County, and it was not even close. We've got a lot to discuss on that front, and I know a lot of people listening and watching will have a lot to say about that. I'm sure that's going to dominate a majority of the podcast tonight. There is some Chiefs news to get into. The Chiefs signed a backup quarterback, Carson Wentz. They brought back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There's also a chance they might get another running back out there in J.K. Dobbins, who was in for a visit. And there's also an update on the Rashi Rice situation. So we will get to all of those tonight. Going to be one of those semi-late nighters, depending where you are in the country. But man, there is a lot to get into here, so we have little time to waste. I want to let you know this podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Baseball season is in full swing. You want to get your Royals tickets at the K? Maybe one of the last few years they'll be at the K. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But hey, you want to check out the Royals at the K this year? I've already got my tickets from SeatGeek. Going to go to a couple of games this year. Definitely looking forward to it. You guys can go to the K as well. Get your tickets from SeatGeek. You want to go to a concert? You want to go to some basketball still going on? Hockey's still happening. The playoffs are coming up for the NBA and NHL. The NFL schedule, we're going to learn about that in a month. A lot of places, a lot of events going on, and you can get your tickets from SeatGeek. If you're a new SeatGeek customer, if you've never purchased from SeatGeek before, I've got a little gift for you. You can use my promo code Farzin, and you will save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. Again, promo code Farzin, save $20 from SeatGeek. All right, I see a lot of you guys are in the chat right now. I appreciate all of you guys. I see a lot of people watching right now. This is honestly one of the, excluding like post-game losses where we recap a loss, this is honestly the fastest we've ever seen this many people in the first couple of minutes of the podcast. So a lot of you guys are watching right now. I want to know from all of you right now, and listen, there's no right or wrong answer from some of you. I mean, I have my opinions about what's going to happen, and I'll share those in a moment, but I want to know from you, how do you feel right now? Did the Jackson County voters, did they make the right choice here? And what about the future? Do you fear that the Chiefs and Royals are leaving? Or do you think they're going to stay? I want to hear from, are you guys surprised? Or did you guys see this coming? Listen, social media is not real life. I mean, I know we say that like whenever people post, you know, nice fancy pictures of themselves and never anything negative. I'm not talking about that aspect of social media not being real life. I think so many times when you see any kind of election, whether it's something like this or a presidential election, people like to use social media numbers as like some sort of projection as to what's going to happen. That's just not the case, because when you look at, or from my perspective at least, when I was seeing all of the commentary and chatter from Chiefs fans, there were a lot of Chiefs fans that said that they're pretty confident that this is going to pass. Let me quickly see if I can pull up one of my own polls here on my Twitter. Bear with me one moment. I should have prepared this a moment ago. By the way, I made a joke on Twitter asking if anyone from the Yes crowd is going to claim it's rigged. Guys, it was a joke. Relax. Anyway, I'm trying to pull up the poll. I just found it. So here's the poll I ran on my Twitter page. Small sample size, you know, but take it for what it's worth to you. Now I'm sure there are a lot of non-Jackson County residents who voted in this poll, but I just simply asked, hey, what are you voting, yes or no? A lot of people voted yes on my poll, and I also asked on Facebook. temporarily removed the ability to do polls, so I couldn't do a poll on Facebook. But I asked the same question, and a lot of people said that they would vote yes. Those that live in Jackson County said they would vote yes. Those that don't said that if they did live in Jackson County, they would vote yes. And by the way, I see a lot of comments coming in right now. Please keep them coming. I'll get to those shortly. I'm not reading them right now. But man, we got to take a look at this, because this was not even close. We saw some of the early results. These are people that voted early and know had a really big lead. And it's like, okay, you know, we've seen this a lot with elections before. And I know a lot of people don't want to go down that road. But, you know, it's always one of those things where you have to let it play out. But as you can see, the right here in the corner, it says reporting 100%. So this is over. So the final number is 58% to 42% with no winning by a wide margin. 78,352 voted no, and 56,606 voted yes. So 78,000 voted no, 56,000 voted yes. I did hear on Sports Radio 810 that voter turnout for this was supposed to be 30%, or that's what they expected. You know, for an April election, that is, I guess, expected. Here are my thoughts on this. I think the Chiefs and Royals, they failed miserably. And I was saying this for a while. You know, you saw the interview. I think a lot of you guys saw it with Mark Donovan talking to a reporter from Channel 41, the NBC affiliate here in Kansas City, and said that if this vote does not pass, then they have to explore other options. And as good reporters do, they want to clarify on that answer there. That way we're not putting words in someone else's mouth. And said, does that include leaving Kansas City, Missouri? He's like, we have to consider that. So a lot of people viewed that as a threat. So the Chiefs spoke out, and they wanted to clarify, they're not trying to threaten Kansas City voters, Jackson County voters, I should say, to vote a specific way. They want people to vote however they believe they should vote. That's what they said in their follow-up. But then they start to make promises about what they're going to do in the community and all of these things. And there was no official copy of this, oddly enough. And then they start getting pastors involved. And I'm like, this is not going to make me change my mind. Listen, this is a great time to be a Chiefs fan. Obviously, the big news this week is Rashi Rice and what's going on there. And we do have a little bit of an update on that. We'll get to that later. But this is a great time to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan. This is the golden era of Chiefs football, and they're obviously not done. They've still got a lot left to do, but they've won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years. They just went back to back. They had an opportunity to go back to back not too long ago. So this was their second chance to go back to back. Obviously, Super Bowl 55 did not go the way we wanted it to, but this is just a great time to be a Chiefs fan. They've got the most talented quarterback in the NFL, who probably is not even the biggest superstar in the NFL right now, the star tight end. I mean, his popularity just rose. So you would think that using Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce in these commercials, and obviously Salvador Perez, who's beloved in Kansas City, in these promos saying, hey, you know, keep us here, vote yes, all that stuff. And it's like, man, that didn't work. And I was actually really surprised we didn't see like Eric Stonestreet, because if I'm not mistaken, he is a part owner of the Royals. We didn't see Rob Riggle, Paul Rudd, Jason Sudeikis, guys who are part of the Big Slick team, you know, in Kansas City. And obviously, you know, I'm sure they get some nice little let's just say they get a good seat in the house at Arrowhead and Kauffman whenever they show up to games. So I was actually really surprised we didn't see them being used for any of these campaigns here, or for endorsements, any of that. So, you know, I know there are a lot of people who are angry. There are also a lot of people who are actually glad about this. Here's my thing. Let me just say this from the Royals' perspective. I know what a lot of people are thinking. Downtown Stadium, so beautiful. I'm sure you guys all saw the renderings. I saw them. Looks great. Looks awesome. Great. Cool. Love it. But here, you know what else looks cool? A Lamborghini, a Tesla, and a Corvette would all look really cool in my garage. But I don't have the room for that right now, okay? I don't even have the funds to make that happen either. The Royals are so dedicated to moving downtown. Okay, we get it. You want to go downtown, but how are you logistically going to make this happen? The parking situation is going to be a nightmare. Listen, it's already chaos downtown. Whenever there's an event at the T-Mobile Center or at PNL, whether it's a Hot Country Nights on Thursdays, I know that's a big deal. I've been to a couple of those. The Big 12 tournament is obviously a big deal. Whenever the NCAA tournament is in Kansas City, that's a huge deal. They had the NCAA wrestling events, and that was a huge deal. They had a huge turnout for that. I know the Final Four for women's volleyball was a big deal when it was in Kansas City. Whenever you have an event at the Kansas City Convention Center, Bartle Hall, you have the downtown chaos, okay? I don't know how you can explain logistically, how do you handle the whole thing with the Royals? And I was watching KSHB News, and there were some residents there saying, we don't want to pay for this hike in rent fees. Like, we don't want that. And now those people do not have to worry about that. And I think that's a very legitimate case there. Here's my issue is that the mayor, Mayor Quinton Lucas, and I think he's a good mayor. You may disagree. That's fine. He did a Facebook live stream about a week or so ago. And I think someone in the comments was asking about the businesses at the Crossroads area, which is like, you know, just south of where T-Mobile Center is. And how, you know, those businesses claimed the Royals were never in communication with them when the Royals claimed otherwise. And the mayor just had no idea about that. Why are you endorsing this if you don't even know exactly what's going to happen to the businesses in your own town that you're the mayor of? Makes no sense at all. So, you know, the Chiefs and Royals, they spent so much trying to promote their campaign and trying to get people to vote yes, and they failed miserably. Listen, I don't want to be that guy, but I think Clark Hunt and John Sherman got what they deserved. This was a terrible campaign from the start. And I don't know who you blame. Do you blame ownership for this? Do you blame the PR departments for this? Do you, because I said it already, I'm surprised they did not use any of the local celebrities. Forget about the athletes. Of course the athletes are going to do what they're told. But, you know, why were the celebrities not involved? Rob Riggle, Stone Street. And then, by the way, I understand there's a lot of confusion. I'm not going to pretend like I understand this stuff. This is completely out of my wheelhouse, okay? Listen, I talk about sports. I talk about wins and losses, okay? That stats, those kinds of things. But this whole confusion about whether this is a new tax or is this an extension of the tax that was agreed upon in 05 or 06, whatever year that was, the Royals and Chiefs, I'm sorry, I think it was just the Chiefs. I think it was Clark Hunt, because on the Chiefs website, they actually clarified this. As a matter of fact, my mom has a friend who lives in Jackson County, and she received a letter from Clark Hunt addressing it to her. Now, obviously, Clark, they have people who that addresses to the right people for all these letters that went out. But it was the exact same letter that you saw on the Chiefs website, and they're trying to clear up the whole tax situation. Why was this not clarified from the start? I'm not saying they're lying or telling the truth. I really don't know. This stuff is completely out of my wheelhouse. I'm seeing people online saying this is not a new tax. This is not a new tax. Some people are saying this is a new tax. I don't know this stuff, man. I'm not. This stuff is just not something that I like. The whole political side of it, it's just not for me. But you have, I think, a failed project from the start, a failed campaign from the start. I mean, the ideas sound beautiful, but I just don't know. And by the way, I was talking to a friend of mine. We were just texting back and forth earlier tonight, and we're talking about the Royals. Why the hell is there a bridge in that rendering from Kauffman Stadium to the T-Mobile Center? What situation would we need a bridge to go to T-Mobile Center, unless you're an employee of both venues? Who needs to go to both venues? And my friend actually made the case that, listen, What if a drunk person just goes over that bridge? Because you're essentially going to end up on the highway. Now, I know they're trying to build some parks over that bridge. That's something they're working on. But you go over that bridge, goodbye. And I shouldn't laugh about that, but that, I mean, it's true. And I responded, I'm like, that's actually a valid point. We have drunken idiots who go into the fountains at Kauffman Stadium. So anyway, I guess we don't really need to worry about that because this vote did not pass. From the Chiefs' standpoint, the renovations were just terrible. I mean, if you really wanted me, not that I live in Jackson County, but if you wanted me to say yes to this and you use these renovation plans as a way to entice me, that might have been the worst thing you could have done. Bridges to the stadium? I mean, I don't really know. Okay. Everyone will find a way to get to the stadium. The activity zone, I've always said, looks cool. But all these VIP entrances, like, who is that for? Former players, celebrities, Taylor Swift? I mean, listen, I'm not here to hate on Taylor Swift. I think it's a cool story and all. You guys know my thoughts on that already. But I don't give a shit about VIP entrances. Like, and the video boards that they want to upgrade, there's nothing wrong with the video boards right now. This was, again, I just feel like this was, if you were trying so hard to get people to vote yes, I just didn't see... What is it that people are buying into? The big thing they were trying to promote was keep the Chiefs and Royals in Kansas City. Okay, give us a reason. And I was listening to Sports Radio 810, and someone was mentioning, hey, the K is nice, but it doesn't have the same vibe as it would downtown. Listen, man, I think the Chiefs are right next to the Royals. Obviously, the Chiefs are not downtown. I can tell you right now, the vibe at Arrowhead has been pretty damn big the past 6-7 years. So if the team is winning, the vibe will be there. Now, I do agree that Truman Sports Complex, it is kind of in the middle of nowhere. If you're driving on 435, you see all these trees, there's nothing there to see. And all of a sudden, nope, there's a stadium right there. Same thing when you're going on I-70, depending which direction you're coming in from. So, you know, I do agree. The location is kind of in the middle of nowhere. And I understand. People love downtown stadiums. They look beautiful. But the Chiefs, or the Royals specifically, they just did not have a logistical explanation as to how any of this was going to work. The Chiefs, I mean, they just had probably the worst sales pitch they could have offered on this whole thing. Okay, enough of me. You guys all know my stance on this. I was a no vote from the start. I didn't think the sales pitch was good. I didn't like any of the ideas. Nothing was clearly explained here. And I think they got really desperate and started promising things all of a sudden that had nothing to do with these stadiums. And again, 58% to 42%. 78,000, no. 56,000, yes. I don't know who you blame on this one. Is it the owners? Is it the PR staffs? I mean, who's at fault here for this outcome? Because Jackson County, they said hell no to this. Okay, I'm going to read your comments now. Siobhan says the Chiefs will definitely be gone. No one cares about the Royals as much. Listen, what the Royals did in 2014 and 2015 was special. But let's be completely real, because I know there was a point where Royals fans were shaming other Royals fans. Oh, you were not attending Royals games before 2014. Nobody was. Nobody was last year either. Yeah, opening day is always a big turnout. I mean, the attendance went down right away. The team's just been bad. Let's see. Eric says they will be gone. They aren't going to stay to make no renovations. Nick says, I'm not surprised it failed given the steady stream of misinformation from the no side and the media. Jeremy says, so basically what does this mean in a nutshell? Are the Chiefs moving out of Kansas City? Okay, let's discuss this for a moment because I'm already seeing it. The North Kansas City Royals, the Kansas City, Kansas Chiefs. I don't know. Do people think they're going to go to Arkansas City, Wichita, Omaha, Des Moines? I don't know, man. I'm already seeing all of that out there. Okay, let me just say this. I don't think the Chiefs and Royals are going anywhere. John Sherman did an interview on KCMO Radio with Pete Mundo, who, by the way, shout out to Pete Mundo. And am I saying his Mundo? It's Mundo. My bad. Pete Mundo. He's done a terrific job. He's got a radio show on 7:10 a.m. from 6 to 10 in the morning. This guy has honestly done a much better job than the local sports stations, man. Listen, I worked at 6:10. I entered at 8:10. I learned more about the situation from 7:10. So forget about the 8:10 and 6. The number in the middle, 7:10, was the one that was providing better information, better interviews. And John Sherman, in an interview with KCMO Radio, said that he is from Kansas City. He has no intentions of having the Royals leave Kansas City. Now, when he says Kansas City, I think he's talking the area as a whole. So it's possible that you see the Royals move to another part of the Kansas City area. I think with the Kansas City Chiefs, yeah, you got to consider some options here. The Legends area might be the Legends area is honestly the only place I can think of where you have the Speedway and Hollywood Casino. There's a lot of open land in that area, and you're pretty close to the Legends area still. And that's obviously where Sporting Kansas City is. That's where the KC Current was playing, sharing that stadium with Sporting for a little bit before they got their stadium just right next to the river. Look, I'm telling you right now, the Chiefs and Royals are not leaving the Kansas City area. They're not. There's no way. First of all, who wants the Royals? And I know that in 7 years, a lot can change, sure. But in my entire lifetime, man, this team's just been bad. Like, really, really bad outside of two seasons. So I don't know where the Royals would go where they would get a better turnout. Yeah, you have the Oakland A's going from Oakland to Vegas. Well, it's Vegas, man. You're going to get a lot of people from visiting teams there. Look at the Raiders. Have you guys not watched Raiders games like on ESPN, whenever they're on ESPN or NBC on national TV? I think the Steelers were there for one game, and one of the Steelers played, I think it was TJ Watt after the game, he was like, yeah, you know, this felt like a home game. That's every Raiders game feels like that. Their own crowd doesn't even give a shit about that team. Every single time the Chiefs have played there outside of 2020 for obvious reasons, you've seen way more red than black. And obviously the Chiefs own that place. But anyway, the only place the Royals could go is Vegas. But Vegas already has a baseball team now, and that's the A's. So I don't know where the Royals are going to go, where they're going to be accepted. The Chiefs? Okay, I said this a couple weeks ago. San Antonio, if they're leaving the area, San Antonio might be the only place. Because Clark Hunt is from Texas, would make a lot of sense to bring it closer to home for him. I don't know if he wants to do that. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But I know a lot of people will say, well, everyone else hates the Chiefs because they're winning so much. Yeah, but if you put the Chiefs in any other city, and if they're still playing at a high level, again, 7 years, a lot can happen from now. But if they're still playing at a high level, yeah, you can bet that a lot of people are going to want to become Chiefs fans right away because you're getting the hottest team in the NFL, essentially. So, you know, I don't think the Chiefs are leaving. I don't think the Royals are leaving. Are they going to leave the Truman Sports Complex in Jackson County specifically? Maybe. But again, where are you going to go in this town? Like, again, I know the Truman Sports Complex is in the middle of nowhere in this city, okay? I acknowledge that. But you have, as crazy as traffic can be sometimes in that area, you have one of the better parking situations compared to a lot of other places across the United States for sporting events. Professionally, collegiately, all of that. Again, I know it gets very chaotic for Chiefs games, but still, it's one of the better situations parking-wise. And again, if you have Google Maps or Google Earth, whatever, go check out the Legends area. That's the only area I can think of in this town where it would make sense to move and try to, you know, have a good space, be close to, have somewhat of an attraction close by, which is the Legends area, and try to have at least a big parking structure there. That's the only place I can think of. Yeah, just off 435 and I-70 on the other side. Of 435 and I-70. They're off 435 and I-70 right now. They would be on a different 435 and I-70. And if you're not from Kansas City, do not ask me how that works. Just go look it up. Let me just read a few more comments here. Kirk says Chiefs leave Arrowhead, get a new stadium. Royals leave another for another state. They are in a situation like the Oakland A's and the city that builds a new stadium. Johnson County. Listen, I know the Wizards. So I mentioned this on a podcast earlier this week. I went to Blue Valley West High School. And right across the street from that, there was a bunch of open land. There was absolutely nothing there. Now you've got a hospital there, and you've got a grocery store. You have so many places you can shop, so many places you can eat now. They have a Five Guys. They have a Jersey Mike, man. Where was that when I was in high school? Maybe it's good for my health and wallet. It's a good thing for the sake of my health and wallet that those things were not there at the time. But my point is that place is a lot more vibrant. The point I'm trying to get at, that was a spot, the Wizards, now Sporting Kansas City, that was a spot they did kind of consider. It didn't really gain as much attraction, but I know there were people in that area that were kind of excited about the thought of it. I don't know how much land there is in that area to have a team, but I don't think they're going to go that far west of where they are right now. I mean, okay, I get it. The Legends is further west, but at least there's a big venue. Well, I mean, again, Blue Hawk, that's the area. That's the name of the area. Blue, they're still building it. It's not over. It could be as nice as the Legends area one day. Who knows? Dakota says, for anyone who voted no, you're not getting that money. Jackson County generates a lot of money off of the Chiefs and Royals. Not being in the county is going to be a big loss. Yeah, but you got to understand, you're not wrong, Dakota, but at the same time, like, what about those people that live downtown that were going to see a big increase in their rent? They did not want that. I know a lot of people keep saying, oh, well, young people live downtown and they're going to want to go to the games. I mean, I don't think young people are living with an unlimited ATM machine. I'm not trying to be funny. It's just, you know, if you're young and you're living downtown, odds are you're living with a couple other people. Those places, one light, two light, whatever you want to call those, apartments down there, they're not cheap. They're certainly not cheap at all. I've been to, one of those, I can't remember if it was one light or two light. I was dating someone whose, sister was living there and I had a chance to, check out the place. It's nice. It's fancy. It's beautiful. It costs a lot of money too. And it would cost even more if the Royals moved down there. And from the renderings, I guess you could actually watch the game. Depending where you live or where you are in that area. Jeremy says, I've been a fan for over 30 plus years. And if this is in fact true, I am done. No longer a fan. I will support the original Hunt family team, which was the Dallas Texans. I mean, the Chiefs are the Dallas Texans. The Dallas Texans are the Chiefs, I should say. So I'm a little confused by that. D Maria says, you blame a bad deal that no campaign will fix. I just didn't see, like, what was the selling point in that? You blame putting on a ballot that no one votes in April. Dress it up, put it back on the ballot in November. Okay, that makes sense, especially this year because it is a presidential election. Listen, I'm not going to shame anyone for not voting. I don't vote every single time. I just don't. A lot of people don't. I'll be honest. A big reason for that is because I don't even know what the hell is on the ballot. I really don't. Now, again, I'm not a Jackson County resident. I don't even know what else was on that ballot. I was watching on TV. I was watching Channel 41. The Weakest Link was on. I did not know The Weakest Link was still on. But I'm just reading the results on the bottom about all these school boards and mayors, and I don't even know anything about those things. I was just waiting for the Chiefs result, the Chiefs and Royals result, because they were together. Yeah, that's what I said, JR. I'm just telling you what other people have said. There are a lot of people saying that's not the case. I don't know what it is, and quite honestly, that's not really... Oh, I don't know if you're responding to me or responding to someone else. Okay, guys, I'm starting to see a lot of people make this a Republican-Democrat thing. Okay, I'm seeing a lot of arguing in the comments here. Jacob says I see them redoing it. I mean, that's your next plan here. You either consider other venues, other spots, or you give this one more try, but actually put forth the effort, please. Like, give us something. Alonda says, that's the best thing our stadiums are, back-to-back. That's just so dope. Just upgrade the surroundings and a little renovation. Listen, the renovations that finished in 2010, I mean, 2010, that's not new, but it's also not old either. Like, the Royals, even like 10 years ago, like 2015, 2016, around that time, they were still upgrading. The Craft and Draft is fairly new. That's a great place to watch a game. I know, having worked for the Royals, part of their game day production crew, I know that they're still adding things. You may not notice it even if you go to the games, but there are still some things they're doing to renovate certain places. They're just not major projects. I think every stadium does this. You could say that about every football and baseball stadium. Bob has a good question here. What about the roof? A lot of people wanted that. Yeah, that rolling roof proposal, that was in 2005. If I recall correctly, it was either 05 or 06. I can't remember exactly when it was. But that was rejected. Now, I don't remember the exact percentage, the exact numbers for that. But, I still remember at the time, they were promising a Super Bowl to Kansas City, and they had the exact year ready if they approved of that rolling roof, which Jackson County didn't. Listen, Jackson County is not afraid. They are not afraid to say no. They said no to a rolling roof, even though the NFL guaranteed a Super Bowl, and they had the exact date ready for that. I just don't remember which one it was going to be, but it was right there. Kansas City was going to host a Super Bowl. And this whole idea of the Royals going downtown and the Chiefs, you know, as hot as they are right now, it's a perfect time to maybe promote renovations, and they did a poor job of it. I don't know. I will say this. I feel like if the rolling roof, if that was brought back today, if that idea was brought back today, I actually think that might pass. I actually do. Because of how hot the Chiefs are right now, I think Chiefs fans would actually be in favor of that. But when I say Chiefs fans, I'm referring to Jackson County, of course. The Chiefs will stay. They have a contract till 2030. Yeah. Both stadiums, I think, are 2030. I think one is 2030. The other is 2031. I could be wrong. But yeah, you're right about that, Jacob. Mark Donovan and Clark Hunt making threats didn't help. No, Donnie, it didn't. Yeah, we mentioned that earlier. Okay, Susan asked a very good question. Why build a stadium for a losing baseball team? Again, 7 years, a lot can happen in 7 years. The Royals might be the best team in baseball in 7 years. I don't know. They might be the worst team still. But what I do know is in my entire lifetime, the Royals have been awful. Like, really, really, really bad outside of 2014 and 2015. And before 2014 and 2015, 2003 was literally considered the golden year of Royals baseball. After 1985, and they didn't even make the playoffs. They choked it away in September. So, listen, I know a lot of people have very strong opinions about Kevin Keatsman, but he did ask this question about 15 years ago on the radio. And I thought it was a very fair question. He said, would anyone be sad if the Royals moved? I mean, listen, I'm not a big baseball guy, but I like going to a game here and there. I can't say I'm like seriously invested in what I'm watching because the Royals just aren't very good right now. Listen, everybody was emotionally invested in 2014 and 2015. We saw something in baseball here in this town we haven't seen in three decades. And some people were not born the last time the Royals were good. And now, ever after 2015, 2016, you still had that, you know, World Series hangover. But then after that, man, it just went away. Nobody cared in 2017. Nobody cared in 2018, 2019, and so on. Yeah, opening day is always good. Big Slick is always a big game. You have a couple other games here and there on the schedule. The St. Louis Cardinals games are always good, but that's because Cardinals fans are coming over, and there are a lot of Cardinals fans here. The Oklahoma Chiefs. Yeah, I'm Get your cities in, man. I'm seeing a lot of people think that what's the Kansas governor's name? Kelly something. I'm an idiot. Why do I not have her name? What is the name of the Kansas governor? Help me out, Google. I'm sure. Laura Kelly. I thought her first name was Kelly. Laura Kelly. Yeah, I mean, is Laura Kelly going to say anything Wednesday morning about this? Is she going to have a statement on this? Because Laura Kelly has said in the past that she would love to have the Chiefs in Kansas. So if you are Laura Kelly and if you're part of the Kansas crowd that wants the Chiefs here, yeah, tonight's a really good night for you guys. 100%. Robert says, build a basketball stadium in place of Royals again, an NBA team. That's what you built the T-Mobile Center for. At the time, it was a Sprint Center. And here's a crazy thing. We were promised an NHL team or an NBA team, and we haven't had that. Now, I think the arena has been very successful. Prior to the pandemic, it was considered one of the busiest arenas in the United States. We were hoping that it would be a sports-driven arena, because we all thought the Pittsburgh Penguins had a shot at coming here, but we kind of learned that the Penguins used Kansas City as leverage. But we have not had a professional sports team. And I'm not, no disrespect to these teams, but I'm not including the Kansas City Brigade or any of those things. In fact, whenever we have like a minor league indoor soccer team or arena team, they go play in Independence at Cable Dom Arena, whatever arena it's called now. So I don't know, man. Yeah, stadium is by the Speedway. That's like the only really solid option. I know the Royals have thought about building a stadium right next to the Casey Currens. I guess that's where the Royals might go. I don't know. And the Chiefs, I guess, would go to that area. Listen, I don't think the Chiefs and Royals are going anywhere. Could I be wrong? Maybe. I don't know. I think right now, like, John Sherman and Mark Donovan and Clark Hunt, they're all pissed off. So they don't want to say anything or make any promises right now. They don't want to respond off of emotion. But I think ultimately you have to look at where you are. Again, the Truman Sports Complex, is it a very exciting area? No, it's in a boring area. It's in the middle of nowhere of this town. Like, if somebody was traveling through Kansas City going on I-70, I mean, you see all these places that you're just like, okay, here's a bunch of trees. And then you'll see the big K to your left or to your right, depending which direction you're going in. And you're like, whoa, all of a sudden we got two professional sports stadiums there. So, yeah, it is kind of in the middle of nowhere. But it is still, you know, it works. That parking lot right there, where are you going to get that size of a parking lot anywhere? Maybe the Legends area. I don't know where else in this town you would get that. I just don't. So, the Legends in Kansas, so put in Kansas City, Kansas, if you're not from KCMO. By the way, let me just say this. Not that I'm seeing this in the comments right now. And again, there are a lot of comments, so I apologize if I'm not getting to all of you. I'm trying to skim through all of them. I'm still seeing a lot of arguing and political bashing here and there. But I do remember a while ago, people were saying that if the Chiefs ever moved to Kansas, that they would never be a fan of the Chiefs ever again. A small part of me wants to see the Chiefs move to Kansas just to see if those people would keep their word. Because I'll tell you, and again, 7 years, we don't know. We don't know. The Chiefs might still be great. They could be terrible. But you're not going to change your allegiance if the Chiefs are still playing really damn well. Seriously, who are you going to go root for? The Raiders? The Broncos? Again, maybe the Raiders or Broncos might be great in 7 years. I don't know. No one knows. But if the Chiefs are still playing at a high level, which is kind of expected, even though it's several years away, you're not going to change your allegiance as a fan. You're just not. Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate the kind words. They wanted a 32,000 seat stadium, smallest in MLB. Think how high those prices will be, plus paying for PSL, etc. I think my whole thing is, again, like, we're seeing the attendance for the Royals after the World Series hangover, and it's not very good. And I just don't want to spend all that money on a downtown stadium if the team is not going to improve. I know Bobby Witt's going to be here for a long time, but is Bobby Witt alone going to save this team? I doubt it. The Royals being downtown killed it for sure. Chiefs standalone probably goes, yeah, but the Royals don't really try to build a winning organization. That's a good point, Kevin. Because I still remember during the World Series excitement during that whole era, which was short, unfortunately. But I remember people said, oh, what if this team was downtown? At the time, that was an exciting conversation to have. Now it's like, okay, it looks beautiful, but logistically, how do you do this? And will the team even be good at the time? So, okay, I think we have beat this topic to death. I think you've all, I think we've voiced all the opinions we can on this. The Royals have at least five more years until they're even relevant again. Yeah, again, we don't know what's going to happen that many years. Like, we don't even know what's going to happen in 2 years in any sport. You'd like to think the Chiefs would still be great, but you don't know that for a fact right now. You probably know how teams will do this year. But again, I've already repeated myself many times on that, so I don't know. I'm not sure. Patrick says the Omaha Royals. Where do the Storm Chasers go? Yeah, Laura Kelly. Jennifer says, I thought you were done streaming. Okay, guys, I made a joke on April 1st, okay? Think very hard. Use your brains. What holiday falls on April 1st? For those who don't know what the hell I'm talking about, I made a joke on April 1st. I waited till like the evening to do this. I'm like, yeah, guys, I'm retiring from Facebook and podcasting. Who retires from social media and podcasts? Anyway, that was a joke, if you guys didn't catch that. Oh, boy. How about Close to Worlds of Fun? Oh, that's a really good question, Anthony. I've got to be honest with you. I have not been in that area in a very long time. Ameristar Casino is very close to that area. I don't know. Connor says pissed off billionaires with a smiley face. Oh boy, you guys just love seeing. Oh my God, remember the Great Mall? My dad took me there. I met the Red Space Power Ranger there. Okay, it wasn't really him, but you get the idea. I don't know if anyone else remembers that. They took you to like this weird like thing that was, they tried to make it look like a spaceship. That part was pretty cool. Would they still be called the Kansas City Royals? Yeah. I mean, listen, the Giants and the Jets are in East Rutherford, New Jersey, and they're called the New York Giants and the New York Jets. The Patriots are in Foxborough. They're still the New England Patriots. The Chargers are in Inglewood. So are the Rams, but they call them LA. I'm sure there's another city here or there where, it doesn't really... The city doesn't match exactly where they are in the name and all of that. Okay, I think we've gone through this topic well enough here. Let's move on. Obviously, there's a lot we can react to later on in the week. I'm sure we will. Let's talk about some Chiefs news. So about 24 hours ago, news broke that the Chiefs signed Carson Wentz. Obviously, this is going to be their backup quarterback, moving on from Blaine Gabbert. Listen, I really like what Matt Moore did in Kansas City, filling in for Patrick Mahomes. I like what Chad Henne did in the two playoff games he filled in for Patrick Mahomes when he got hurt. In the Cleveland game for the remainder of that second half, and then in the Jacksonville game where Mahomes shattered his ankle, according to the Twitter experts, it was a fake injury. But if you watch the Netflix series, you can tell he is in serious pain. Just going through that, and Chad Henne did well, but and obviously you had Blaine Gabbert. I know a lot of people love Blaine Gabbert because there are a lot of Mizzou fans in the Kansas City area, but I do think Carson Wentz, and I know his career has absolutely gone down over the years. He's turned into a journeyman. This guy was, if it wasn't for his injury in 2016, 2017. Whatever year it was where the Eagles did beat the Patriots with Nick Foles, I think Carson Wentz wins MVP that year, which is unfortunate. Something very similar happened to Derek Carr in 2015 or 2016. Yeah, 2016. That's where it was for Derek Carr, where he got hurt late, and that hurt his MVP chances and the Raiders' AFC West chances, too. So, yeah, the Carson Wentz one was 2017, and he has not been good since then. If you look at Carson Wentz year by year, since 2017, in 2018, he went 5-6, got hurt again. 2019, he played all 16 games that year, went 9-7. 2020, 3-8-1. Then in Indianapolis, he was 9-8. Washington, he started 7 games, went 2-5. Last year, he only started 1 game. He won that 1 game. Was able to have an undefeated season last year, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But here's why I like the Carson Wentz signing. He was drafted in Philadelphia by Doug Peterson. That was Doug Peterson's first draft pick. Now, what was Doug Peterson's job before he took the Philadelphia head coaching job? He was Andy Reid's offensive coordinator right here in Kansas City. So a lot of times when an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator goes elsewhere, they try to, and I shouldn't say defensive, more so offensive coordinator, they try to run a very similar offense to what their former mentors had. So the offense you saw in Philadelphia with Doug Peterson there, and I think it's still the same today, even with Nick Sirianni, pretty similar to what Andy Reid runs. So coming into Kansas City, I think Carson Wentz has a really good idea as to what's expected of him in this Chiefs offense. God forbid anything happens to Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if I like the Chiefs' chances of three-peating, but I like it better with Carson Wentz than Blaine Gabbert for sure. So, listen, this is not anything to be thrilled about, but I think at the end of the day, this is one of those situations where you need to have a viable backup. I like Chris Oladokun. I'm curious to see, you know, what he can do. I think some of the skill set he carries would work well in an Andy Reid style offense. I think Shane Buechele had, you know, similar skill set to Oladokun, but, you know, we're talking about third string quarterbacks right now, so it's not really worth debating or discussing too much. But I think, you know, you've got to have good backup quarterbacks. You saw what happened to Patrick Mahomes in not one, but two playoff games. And what happened in those two playoff games? Chad Henne stepped up and helped the Chiefs finish strong in those games. Now, he didn't finish the game with the injured ankle. And then Matt Moore the year before, concussion or the head injury, whatever you want to call it, because I don't think they ever called it a concussion. Matt Moore did very well, going 2-1. And the one game they lost was to the Packers, and that was a very close defeat there. I think Andy Reid in that game did regret punting late, but, you know, when you have a backup quarterback, you may not want to go for it in that situation, which I understand. Matt says, Wentz starts against the Raiders. Yeah, if you play them in... I almost misread that comment. I thought you said Wentz would start for the Raiders. I was going to say that... That works too. Okay, Caesar raised a very interesting comment here because if you look at what Sam McDowell posted, Carson Wentz has one of the better success rates when it comes to quarterback sneaks. And, you know, as much as I have said I disagree with Andy Reid on this, doesn't matter what I say, the Chiefs just absolutely refuse to run a QB sneak with Patrick Mahomes. They've done the whole tight end sneak, and that has worked, but defensive coordinators, they watch tape, okay? That's the thing. And teams have caught up on that. So now, if it's 3rd and 1 or 4th and inches and you bring Carson Wentz in, well, it gets kind of obvious. So I think you got to find a way to be creative and not make it so obvious. And I'm sure the Chiefs will do something about that. Because again, we know the Chiefs are not going to run a QB sneak with Mahomes. They just won't. Mahomes says he wants to, but that's not his call at the end of the day. So I like the Carson Wentz signing. It's not anything to be thrilled about, but God forbid anything happens. You do have a guy that is familiar with Kansas City's offense at the end of the day, given his experience playing under Doug Peterson. So take that there. The Chiefs made another move within the last 24 hours. This one came today. They re-signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Maybe a surprise to a lot of people, including me. Now, before that, we learned that former Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins was in the building for a visit. Now, I saw Chase Daniel, former Chiefs quarterback, now an analyst, and does a really good job of doing that. Chase Daniel had a very interesting comment. He said that the Chiefs used J.K. Dobbins as leverage to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire to re-sign. And Chase Daniel even used himself as an example. I don't remember the exact scenario, but I guess he was used as leverage to get for a team to get someone else to stay and re-sign. What kind of leverage do you need to bring in someone else and make Clyde Edwards-Helaire resign? No disrespect to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. In fact, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire actually played better last year. Didn't play as many snaps, but did show some toughness in certain situations. And again, especially considering when the passing game just wasn't where it was last year, where we all thought it should have been last year with all the drops and whatnot. Clyde Edwards-Helaire did show up for the team at times. Obviously, that Patriots game was his big game. I think he ran with a little bit of toughness, and maybe he learned some of that from Isaiah Pacheco. But man, I mean, the running back room in Kansas City, it's not like Thomas Jones and Jamal Charles in 2010, where they were number one in the NFL in rushing by a wide margin. But I think it is still a unit that can help you move the football and win football games. But here's a problem. And we kind of mentioned this with Carson Wentz. Maybe he solves the whole short yardage situation. The Chiefs, even though they've won back-to-back Super Bowls, hasn't been pretty. The short yardage situations, I don't know statistically where they rank on that. The last 2 years combined, they have to be near the bottom in the NFL in that category because they have not been good in that area at all. That's something they've got to improve on. I thought they were a little bit better about it this past year. And here's the thing, like, we complain so much because we do see third and short situations and the Chiefs, they throw the football. I'm like, why? And then whenever they try to run it on third and short, we don't see good things happen. Now, there have been times where they've tried that this past year, and I thought it was better than 2022, if I'm being honest. So, you know, I mean, you're not going to have a 100% success rate on third and short. I get that. No one is 100% in that situation. You'll have some miscues here and there, some mishaps. But I think, you know, when you have Isaiah Pacheco, who is a hard-nosed, tough running back, and you've got the best interior offensive line in football with Creed Humphrey in the middle and Joe Tooney and Trey Smith as your guards, man, that can't fail. That unit has to succeed a majority of the time. If I was a running back and I had to pick three guys to run behind just to gain a yard, those are the guys I would want pushing for me, 100%. And of course, you know, with Blake Bell, Travis Kelce, they can definitely add a little bit of a push as well. I know there's this weird stigma that Travis Kelce doesn't block, which is not true at all. Does he block as often as other tight ends? No, he doesn't. They use him a lot for pass catching situations, but you can still use those big tight ends there to get 1 yard, depending how they move in motion and whatnot. So I like that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back. I was not expecting it, but I think the Chiefs can definitely use that to their advantage. By the way, I saw a comment on the Facebook page earlier today asking about why would you decline his fifth-year option and then re-sign him? The reason for that's actually a valid question. The reason you decline that is because he just has not lived up to the expectations of a first-round pick, especially with a lot of the injuries he's been dealing with. The fifth-year option is kind of like a franchise tag, where you have to pay a certain amount to keep him for that fifth year. And I don't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, with all due respect to CEH, that's not a guy that you pay so much money to because he just has not lived up to expectations. You have a seventh round player that took his job, essentially, at the end of the day. Now, I did see some reports out there from Nate Taylor and Sam McDowell saying that the whole J.K. Dobbins thing, not necessarily out of the picture, signing him, not out of the picture yet. There's still a possibility. It was a productive meeting, what they reported. So that move is still in play, I guess. And, you know, obviously, we have Luis Rizamet Yeah, he's never played football before, but with his size and his speed, that running back spot might be the best position for him to play, and you definitely want to give that guy an opportunity. So I don't know what the Chiefs, because the Chiefs right now have Pacheco, they have CEH, they have Rhys Dommett. I'm sure there are a few other guys. I think LaMichael Pirine is still on the team. Denerick Prince, I don't have the roster in front of me, but you still have some of those guys on the team. And I think you want to make sure you have the best unit possible for Mahomes, because even though the Chiefs are not a rush first team, that running back position is still very important in Andy Reid's offense. You look at who Andy Reid's had as running backs in his career as a head coach: Brian Westbrook, LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles, who was already a great running back, and Andy Reid made him even greater. Spencer Ware was a good pass catching running back for the little bit of time he played. Getting a lot of snaps with the Chiefs, filling in while Jamal Charles was hurt. Kareem Hunt, I know he was not here for two full seasons, but the time he was here, Kareem Hunt was one of the best running backs in the NFL. So and now you have Isaiah Pacheco, who has yet to really do anything major statistically, but whenever he just goes out there and plays, man, he looks like a top 10 running back for sure. So I have the list in front of me. So Keontae Ingram, he's on the team. I forgot about that. Isaiah Pacheco, LaMichael Pirine, Denerick Prince. Yeah, they're still on the team. Rhys Dommett is still on the team. So those are your running backs right now. You also have Hassan Hall, a guy who's only had 1 year of experience from Georgia Tech. You know, that's a guy that would need a really good preseason in order to make the team. But those are your running backs right now. So I don't know if the running back room has room for Dobbins, but there's definitely still an opportunity to maybe add to your running back room if the Chiefs want, because apparently the meetings were pretty good there. Okay, last thing we are going to discuss and then get out of here is the Rashee Rice update here. So since the last time I did a podcast, Rashee Rice did hire an attorney. I don't think there's any word that he's met with Dallas police, so I think, from a legal standpoint, they're still looking for him. Mark Donovan did comment on this and said that they are monitoring the situation. The NFL is monitoring the situation and they're waiting to gather all the facts, which is, you know, kind of a typical response in that situation. TMZ did report that the Corvette, as we had mentioned previously, the Corvette that was driven does belong to Rashee Rice. Now, when he was getting out of the vehicle, that was not the Corvette he was getting out of. Somebody else was driving the Corvette. He was getting out of a Lamborghini, and that Lamborghini was apparently leased to him for $1,700 a day. Man, $1,700 a day. And you got a Lambo, so you can go racing on the Dallas freeways. Cool. Real cool. Okay, listen, let me just say this, because I don't know what's going to happen. He's going to get suspended and fined. How many games? When is that coming? I have no idea. The NFL is very inconsistent. Willie Gay got suspended 4 games for a vacuum. Frank Clark was suspended 2 games for having an Uzi twice. Well, it was 2 games, I think. I don't know what this is going to be. 6 games? 6 to 8? Something along that range there. TMZ did report that Rice did admit to being involved in that incident. To what extent, still not, kind of uncertain right now. And he promises that he will pay for that Lamborghini that he was borrowing, renting essentially from that company. And apparently he's been like a customer of this business ever since he's been at SMU. Man, how are you a college student and you're a customer of this place that's leasing out Lamborghinis? Like, shit, man. I don't know. It's funny because I think there was a Minnesota Vikings draft pick last year who was pulled over for a DUI on like a sports car. It's like, man, you're a draft pick and you already got a DUI with a sports car? Like, Jesus Christ, man. Listen, let me just say this about Rashee Rice. Because no matter whether he was a driver or not, that's not a good look for him. Because number one, the Corvette that was involved in that crash, he handed the keys to a friend of his, giving them permission to use his car to race on the highway. Now, the Lamborghini in the dash cam footage you see, there are three people getting out of the passenger side. How many are getting out of the front? How many are getting out of the backside? I don't know. It's a little hard to tell. But it does kind of look like two people are exiting from the front passenger side. And I don't know why the driver would need to go to that side. But it kind of looks like it. It looks like two people are coming out of the front passenger seat. And listen, we don't know if alcohol was involved or not. Why would you need to flee the scene in that situation? Why? It is kind of suspect. And I think, you know, again, we have to wait for all the facts. We can't make judgments here. We can't just jump to conclusions. But people are wondering, hey, was he trying to hide the alcohol in the system? Man, I remember when I was in high school, I was in a broadcasting class. And in that class, you know, there's no like lectures or anything. You basically work, do your projects. And there's a lot of downtime in that. We all the classmates and I, we would talk and whatnot. I had a classmate mention he was pulled over the other day for speeding, like going like 80 or 90 on the street. And I turn to look at him. I'm like, why? Why the hell would you do that? And he goes, I was bored. The fuck are you talking about? You were bored. Listen, we didn't have Netflix at the time. You know, what we did have was Blockbuster. Remember Blockbuster? I remember, you know, my dad would take my brother and I on a Friday or Saturday night. I would see at least one classmate. My brother would see one of his classmates, man. Blockbuster, that was where it was at, man. That's where it was at. But listen, man, go watch Netflix. Watch, go play video games. Watch whatever sports are on TV. I mean, wasn't the NCAA tournament going on when he was doing this? Like, I'm sure some good college basketball was on. Listen, Brazzers, I think, is free. Like, come on, man. How would... Let me ask this, because this has been brought up, and I've already said this, but it's worth repeating. How is it that we have the Henry Ruggs situation and the Britt Reid situation, and those incidents are not learning lessons right now? How? I mean, dude, you better be thanking God or whoever you pray to that no one died. Because if this ended up the same way the Henry Ruggs situation did, you're done. Look at Britt Reid. I mean, he's out of prison now, but do you think he's getting back in the NFL? Hell no, he's not. You think Henry Ruggs is getting back in the NFL? No. That's a talented wide receiver right there. Unfortunately, we do hand out punishments based on the outcome of things. I mean, what Rashi Rice did was not too different than what Henry Ruggs did. Again, we don't know if alcohol was involved, but there was a very fast car involved, two fast cars involved. And thank God no one died, because if you run that scenario 10 times, you're not going to have zero deaths every single time. You're just not. And for whatever reason, the Henry Ruggs incident and the Britt Reid incident are not learning lessons. I hate to say this. This is not the last time this is going to happen. And I hope I am wrong, man. I would love to be wrong in this situation. But it's going to happen. I don't know, like the rookie symposium, why did we get rid of that? If you are going to want to play sports professionally, whether it's the NFL or any other sport, there needs to be some sort of requirement that, you know, you let these players know what you do is not okay. And you know what? There's no time to be nice about this kind of thing. Mention names. Mention Britt Reid by name. Mention Henry Ruggs by name. Mention Rashi Rice by name. You got to start, like, legitimately singling players out. And I know Britt Reid was not a player, but mention these players by names and let it be known that one stupid mistake, well, I shouldn't say mistake, that was decision, is going to cost you. Fortunately for Rashi Rice, the worst might be a half a season suspension, maybe a full season suspension. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. He's not going to get blacklisted from the NFL like Ruggs. He's not. But man, again, I don't want to say the same thing over and over again, but I just can't wrap my head around the fact that we've had a good sample size of really sad incidents and we're not learning from this. Did an innocent 21-year-old getting burned to death, that was not a learning lesson? Did a poor, innocent 5-year-old whose life is pretty much ruined now, was that not a learning lesson? Like, what's going on here? I know NFL teams are telling their players, hey, our season's over. You're about to go and be off on your own for the next, 8 weeks. Don't do stupid shit. I'm sure they say that. But it doesn't register to everyone's head. Again, how is it that, here's my thing, man. If I was an NFL player, and, he was drafted in the second round, so very early, you have this opportunity to basically live the most glorious life possible for as many years left in your life. I'm not saying NFL players live a perfect life. No, they all still struggle, go through personal things like the rest of us do. But, man, financially speaking, you're making a lot of money. And what you do for a living is fun. You're playing a kid's game, right? That's what they say. We're making a lot of money to play a kid's game. And you get a lot of time off. These last, depending when your season ends, you get a significant amount of time off. And you're choosing to do this. I think that's the part that really confuses me the most, is that, Caesar mentions Aaron Hernandez in a much, much, much different situation. What Henry Ruggs did, what Britt Reed did, what Rashi Rice did, they didn't want that to happen. The Aaron Hernandez thing is a much different deal. But here's the thing. To me, it's like, Blackjack, I see you in the YouTube comments here. You're saying 2 to 4 games for this, nothing crazy. You might be right. Why? Because nothing bad happened at the end of the day. No deaths, no serious injuries have occurred according to reports. Which is unfortunate, because if someone pulls out a gun and shoots towards a crowd, but no one gets shot, no one gets hit with a bullet, well then, the punishment might not be as bad. But if you do pull out a gun and shoot towards a crowd and the bullet hits a couple of people, well then, you're going to suffer more consequences because of that. I hate that we have to do it in that way, but that's just the way things work, unfortunately. Again, that's why I keep saying, if you're Rashi Rice, thank whoever you pray to that no one died, because two vehicles going very, very fast, hitting 4 other cars, the odds of survival are not as high if this happens over and over again. So I hope it's a learning lesson, man, and he needs to suffer the consequences and learn the hard way. Again, it just frustrates me, man, because I know young people with this much money, they can get carried away. We saw Kareem Hunt get involved in so many physical instances after his rookie year. But man, it's just like you're throwing away an opportunity, or you're damn near close to it. So, and I'll say what I said on Sunday again. If you're Clark Hunt, you got to have a conversation with your team, because there are a lot of incidents coming up in Kansas City, and it is not a good look. Some of them are minor, like the Frank Clark thing. That's not anything terrible. Should he have done that? No. Having an Uzi in the state of California is not allowed. We can debate that all we want, but rules are rules. There are a lot of rules I don't agree with, but you got to follow them. And if you're Clark Hunt, man, you got to have a conversation. My point is, with the Frank Clark thing, the incidents are just adding up. There are way too many of them happening. So I don't know, man. It's just a selfish thing. It's selfish to just leave the scene and not check on anyone when you cause that accident. It's selfish, to your team, because they have to maybe get asked about this by someone in the media. Not that I think it's right, but that's just the way the media works sometimes, and that's not fair at all. So hopefully, hopefully Rashee Rice learns from this, and the Chiefs, you know, they'll figure out what they need to do and move on from there. All right, guys, that'll do it for this episode of the Chiefs Zone podcast. Hey, for those of you that are watching on the Facebook page, I just commented with a link to the YouTube channel for the Chiefs Zone. If you guys would, please subscribe to that link. It's right there. Just commented with it. Please click that. Subscribe to the Chiefs Zone. You can also watch these live streams on there as well. We're going to start putting more video content on that as well. So it would be greatly appreciated if you guys could subscribe to the YouTube channel. All right. This is a late night here. Obviously, we covered a lot of ground. Mostly about the stadium vote being rejected. I'm sure we'll have more reactions to that later in the week. We're not going to do a podcast tomorrow. There will be a Red Friday live chat, though, this Red Friday. So tune in for that. Not sure exactly when there will be another podcast. Might be Thursday, might be in the weekend. We'll see. Because we've done, we did one on Sunday, we did one today. Unless there's another big story that comes up, we'll do one then. I'm sure there will be something that comes up with the stadium vote reactions. So we'll probably do one there. All right, guys, my name is Farzi Vasugian. Thank you guys so much. Have a great night. Talk to you all later. Take care.